Our Old Testament reading comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 23. Please turn with me there in your Bibles. First Chronicles 23, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. So when David was old and full of days, he made Solomon his son king over Israel. And he gathered together all the princes of Israel with the priests and the Levites. Now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and upward, and their number by their polls, man by man, was 38,000, of which 24,000 were to set forward the work of the house of the Lord, and 6,000 were officers and judges. Moreover, 4,000 were porters, and 4,000 praised the Lord with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. And David divided them into courses among the sons of Levi, namely Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Of the Gershonites were Laadan and Shimei. The sons of Laadan, the chief was Jehiel, and Zethem and Joel, 3. The sons of Shimei, Shelomith, and Haziel, and Haran, 3. These were the chief of the fathers of Laadan. And the sons of Shimei were Jahat, Zina, and Jeus, and Beriah. These 4 were the sons of Shimei. And Jahat was the chief, and Ziza the second. But Jeus and Beriah had not many sons. Therefore, they were in one reckoning according to their father's house. The sons of Kohath, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel, 4. The sons of Amram, Aaron and Moses. And Aaron was separated that he should sanctify the most holy things, he and his sons forever, to burn incense before the Lord, to minister unto him, and to bless in his name forever. Now concerning Moses, the man of God, his sons were named of the tribe of Levi. The sons of Moses were Gershom and Eleazar. Of the sons of Gershom, Shebuel was the chief. And the sons of Eleazar were Rehabiah the chief. And Eleazar had none other sons, but the sons of Rehabiah were very many. Of the sons of Izhar, Shelomit the chief. Of the sons of Hebron, Jeriah the first, Amariah the second, Jahaziel the third, Jekamiam the fourth. Of the sons of Uziel, Micah the first, and Jesiah the second. The sons of Merari, Mahli and Mushi. The sons of Mahli, Eleazar and Kish. And Eleazar died and had no sons, but daughters. And their brethren, the sons of Kish, took them. The sons of Mushi, Mahli and Eder, and Jeremoth, 3. These were the sons of Levi after the house of their fathers, even the chief of the fathers, as they were counted by number of names by their polls, that did the work of the service of the house of the Lord from the age of 20 years and upward. For David said, "The Lord God of Israel hath given rest unto his people, that they may dwell in Jerusalem forever. And also unto the Levites, they shall no more carry the tabernacle, nor any vessels of it for the service thereof." For by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above, because their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord in the courts and in the chambers and in the purifying of all holy things and the work of the service of the house of God, both for the showbread and for the fine flour for meat offering, and for the unleavened cakes, and for that which is baked in the pan, and for that which is fried, and for all manner of measure and size, and to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even, and to offer all burnt sacrifices unto the Lord in the Sabbaths, in the new moons, and on the set feasts by number, according to the order commanded unto them continually before the Lord, and that they should keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation and the charge of the holy place and the charge of the sons of Aaron, their brethren, in the service of the house of the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. The first thing I'd like to mention in this chapter is that David, although well stricken in years by this time, still is a man of energy. Now, we do read about the life of David that there was a time in his life where he became debilitated, could not, get heat to himself and so on. And so he spent a lot of time in bed. And yet, even at that time, we'll remember that he steeled himself in the bed and named Solomon, his son, as his successor. That is, David was always up for the work that God gave him to do. Here we see him old and well stricken in years, and yet he calls the priests and the elders of Israel together to instruct them as to what will happen after his demise, that Solomon will be king and Solomon will build the temple. Notice also that in that he is a man of energy, that he reorders the Levitical line and all that they are to do. Here we have 38,000 Levites. 24,000 of them were for the maintenance and care of the house of the Lord. 6,000 were officers and judges. They were indeed those that were, can I say it this way, arch-Levites, ruling Levites that ruled over their brethren, the judges. Perhaps the judges that Moses speaks about in Deuteronomy chapter 17. These were the judges among the Levites that were to judge ecclesiastical matters. Then there were 4,000 that were porters. They also had a work of judgment. And that work of judgment was to examine the people and the offerings that came to the door of the tabernacle to appear before the Lord, to judge whether or not they were clean and could come into communion with the Lord. That is, ceremonially clean. Obviously, like we say often at the Lord's Supper, none of us are truly worthy to come to that supper, but there is indeed a sacramental worthiness that Paul will speak to us about in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. So there is, even among those of us who are absolutely unworthy, there is a sacramental worthiness and a sacramental unworthiness. Well, it's the same thing in those days. No one was worthy to appear before the Lord, but the porters were there to judge whether or not their offerings were, whether or not they were, they had broken legs, whether they had blemishes and so on, or whether the people themselves, what if one who was last week or earlier in the week pronounced leprous by the Levite, and then he comes to the door of the tabernacle of meeting and wants to worship God that week? He can't do that. And it was the porter that would turn him away. It was those porters that attempted to turn away King Uzziah when Uzziah sought to come in and offer incense before the Lord. Those porters often were, they made up what we in the New Testament call the temple guard. They were the guardians of the temple complex itself. That is, a security and police force within the temple grounds. And then fourthly, there were 4,000 that used instruments and sang in the choir that David had set up, and they were all divided out into courses. You've heard me say there was a 288 member orchestra and choir, and that's true, but there was 288 members that served at a time. There were 4,000 of them that were originally set apart to that song or instrumental service during the days of David. And so what do we see of David? We see him as a man of activity, as a man, as the prophet of God, ordering out the specific duties of the Levites. The final duty of the Levites that's mentioned later on in the chapter is that they were to attend and to assist upon the labors of the Aaronites, those priests. And we'll note that there was a distinction between priests and Levites. The priests came near and handled the holy things. The Levites served around the holy things in service to their Aaronic brethren. And so they were at the charge, it says, of the tabernacle, and they were also at the charge of the Aaronites, the priests. And so there is a sense in which some New Testament scholars, some churchmen, some of those who spoke to us on ecclesiology. And when we think of ecclesiology, who do we think of mostly during the era of the Second Reformation? We think of men like Rutherford and Gillespie, who taught us much by way of ecclesiology. If you read Aaron's Rod Blossoming, you'll see that Gillespie often calls a parallel between the Levites of the Old Testament and the deacons of the New Testament, that there is a parallel drawn between them in that while they do not administer the sacraments, while deacons do not preach the word, while they don't do those things by way of their office, they are a supporting role to those who do. And the same was to be true there in the Old Testament. Although we will say also that the Levites were spread about the entirety of the country and formed much of the teaching office out and about in ancient Israel. So it is not an exact parallel, but in the environs of the temple, it turns out to be more parallel than not. Because in the environs of the temple, the priests taught and they also sacrificed. And the Levites were that supporting crew that helped them in all of those labors. Okay? All right, so then we have several names. We'll not take much time on the names, but notice that in the Old Testament, these offices were held by particular heredity, not so in the New Testament. Although very often, we've seen this in, say, the Hodge family in the 19th century in American Presbyterianism, we have seen that several members of the Hodge family, several generations, end up being ministers and doctors in the church. But that is not a requirement. When a young Judahite was born, it was not proper for him to tell himself one day, I will minister in the temple alongside my brethren from the tribe of Aaron. Nope, he couldn't say that. Only Aaronites, only Levites could say that. And those Levites, they were born into it by way of necessity. They could not, although some labored more than others, that was something that was put upon them by necessity. No more in the days of the New Testament, however. All right, well, I think that brings us up to everything that we need to understand here. Notice also, by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above. Okay, now we have something distinct here. In the beginning of the chapter, when we numbered the 38,000, and we see it was 24,000, 6,000, 4,000, and 4,000, those of you who are quick with math know that adds up to 38,000. Okay, but now notice that David, in anticipation of the temple being built and all of the labor that needs to take place there, he, by the Spirit of God, by the last words of David, that's what we're to understand, by the Spirit of God, takes that down to 20 years of age and upward. So now Levites are going to enter into that office when they are 20 years of age and upward because of the greater necessity of laborers, because they're anticipating a wonderful expansion to the church. And we just say, amen, come Lord Jesus, thy kingdom come. Here's a day when the Lord was pleased to expand his kingdom, his church, from such that there would be many more officers needed. And this is a legitimate expansion. Now, may I say it this way? You've heard me say it before. If we have, through our own sinful divisions, multiplied churches such that across any particular city, there are hundreds and hundreds of churches. Well, it is the opinion of this pastor that the Lord is not required to raise up a competent ministry to handle our divisive ways. And what we might expect when we are divided sinfully is a dilution of the ministry rather than what we see here in David's day at the command of God, a building up of that ministry. And so we must be careful not to take what we see here in 1 Chronicles 23 and say, oh, it doesn't matter how many churches we erect, the Lord is faithful to provide ministry and all of that. No, no, only those churches that have indeed a biblical reason. I would point us all to James Durham concerning scandal for that. When we are forced to sin, and being forced to sin, we are indeed, there's no authority in heaven or on earth, and so a new church must be erected. Well, then we can trust that if it has been erected according to the commands and counsels of Christ, as we saw in our reading earlier in Antioch Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, where those synagogues would not accept Christ, those new churches are raised up. Yes, the Lord does provide a ministry in those, as we saw the apostle going back through. So our two passages are related today, aren't they? in that there was an expansion, a true expansion to the church, and the Lord raised up a ministry to cover that expansion. But when that is a false and mere carnal expansion, we ought not to expect that the Lord is going to raise up a ministry for that. He may, but again, he may not. In fact, he may take our divisive ways and deprive us of a ministry to call us to repentance. All right, with that then, let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms. We move on in our march through psalms.